Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John DeGarmo, America's only foster care radio program. Here's your host, Dr. John DeGarmo, one of America's leading experts in foster care.
And welcome to the show this week. Welcome to Foster Talk with Dr. John on this last Monday of the month of July, 2015. Woo, it is hot here at the Fostering U.S. Foster Success USA Radio Network, and hopefully a little cooler where you are at. What a week I've had this week. What a week my family and I have had this past week. As you probably know, we have had three children in foster care placed in our home, ages 1, 2, and 4, along with our additional brood of 6, mixture of biological and adoptive children. And in our home, there's no difference between biological, foster, or adoptive. They are all the same. They are all loved equally. They are all considered part of the family. And we have had, investigations, and we've had doctor's appointments, and we've had forensics, and we've had, you name it, it has been all going on with the children in the home. And it has just been taxing us emotionally, taxing us physically, and taxing us a little bit financially, too. But you know what? That's what it is like being a foster parent, right? I'm sure if you're a foster parent, you have gone through the same thing yourself. So let me reassure you that I am right there with you, doing the same exact thing that you're doing and having the same type of challenges and the same type of joys and successes that you are having, my friend. Okay, so also I had the release of the newest publication, Helping Foster Children in School, a Guide for Foster Parents, Social Workers, and Teachers. This book is based on my doctoral dissertation. This book, if you are a foster parent, if you're a social worker, if you're a caseworker or a teacher, this is a book that you cannot afford to miss out on. This is a book that you need to have if you want your foster child or a child in your care and your caseload to succeed in school, and we've had a huge response, such a tremendous response, and I'm so very, very grateful for it. I've been shipping signed copies of books left and right, so grateful for the opportunity, and looking forward to sending some out to you. Also had the opportunity to sign a contract today for Norman, Oklahoma. I'll be going there in the month of August, late August, for a day-long seminar there. Well, I'll be conducting some seminars, and if you're in the Oklahoma area, we'll stop by. I'd love to see you there. And doing another one in Tyler, Texas, in the month of September as well. So lots of things going on in the DeGarmo household. So it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice making it over here to the quiet studios, the Fostering Success USA Radio Network. Kind of nice having a little quiet moment for myself so I can spend some time one-on-one with you. We have a big, big, big show lined up for you this week. So excited that you're part of it. We are going to be having Chris Chmielewski from the magazine Foster Focus. He is the editor and owner of the magazine. He will be calling in about half past the hour with our Foster Focus, our In Focus segment of the week. Chris is actually traveling on the road for some big conferences himself. He's going to be calling in and telling us what's going on with the magazine and what's going on with the foster care conferences across the nation he is visiting. We have as our special guest a foster care alumni, and let me tell you, she is a mover and she is a shaker in the system. Her name is Elena Taylor. She's going to be calling in from the state of Georgia, telling us what she is doing in that state, and she is also involved in a lot of other states with advocacy as well. Really excited that she's a part of the program this week, and I hope that you're going to learn some great things from her on how you can be an advocate as well. We have a foster care question of the week, and wow, what a response we had today. We do it every Monday on my Facebook page, Dr. John DeGarmo, Foster Care Expert. That's the foster Facebook page name. Just go to that and check out this week's question. It asks very simply, why did you become a foster parent? And we have a number of responses from that. And we're going to be reading some of your responses on the air. In fact, if you want to have your response read on the air this evening, just go to that page. Don't click the radio program. Just go to the page on another screen and type in your response. Maybe we will read your response as well. We've got our Foster Care Hero of the Week, as well as our Foster Care News of the Week as well. All that and your phone calls, too. The number to call in, that number, as always, 347-324-5140. We would love to hear from you. So a busy week for sure. I want to announce real quick before we get to the news. I want to announce a partnership that I'm now doing with a really neat Twitter account. You need to check them out. Foster Care in 5 words. That's one word. Foster Care in 5 words. Just, you know, hashtag Foster Care in 5 words. It's a great Twitter account. You need to check it out. Every Friday, I'm going to be sharing some thoughts on that account and sharing it on my Facebook page and other social media sites. And it's a pretty profound, full Twitter account, if you will. So I want you to check that out. Just hashtag Foster Care 5 words and look them over, okay? All right, now let's go to the busy, busy news desk, shall we? First of all, we go to Florida, where child welfare officials say they're recruiting more foster families than ever before. The Department of Children and Families said recently that they have licensed nearly 1,400 foster homes in the Sunshine State. That is up from 211 last year and brings the total to 4,145. Now, the department contracts with private foster care organizations around the state to help recruit and train foster parents and match them with roughly 10,000 foster children statewide. Officials said that a 45% increase in the number of foster homes were licensed in the past year due to a new campaign to recruit foster parents, asking current foster parents to write letters to editors at local newspapers. So there's some good news there from the state of Florida. But you know what? It's all sunshiny in Florida. I'm going to another report from the same state, another report from Florida, where the number of Florida in the state's foster care has reached the highest level since 2008. Driven by both a spike in the number of kids being removed from their homes and a drop in the number being just discharged after a stint in foster care. In the last 24 months in the state of Florida, the number of children in what's known as out-of-town care has reached 22,004 statewide, up from 17,581 in 2013. Now, these and other trends are included in a report held by the Department of Children and Families for a recent meeting of the state's privatized community-based organizations, which oversee foster care and adoption services. Child welfare professionals say that there are multiple reasons for the surge. Among them, the state's new method for addressing risks of child safety. The new methodology involves looking past a single incident that prompts a visit from a child protective investigator to the likelihood of a danger down the road. So we see that there is a number of new foster parents in the state, but that is being mirrored by a large percentage of children going into care in Florida as well. Certainly something that they've got to look at in the Sunshine State. Okay, we go to the state of Illinois, where Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner and state lawmakers remain at an impasse. Few weeks, the courts have repeatedly stepped in, telling the state, budget or no budget, it has to pay for certain things. Pay some bills, the state is saying. The result is this. The state, bit by bit, forced reverting back to some of its budget from last fiscal year, which happens to be a budget that nobody wants, according to the report. Now, without a budget, here is Illinois' situation, according to the report. Money can come in, but the rules about how the state can spend it are, according to the state, unclear. When last year's state budget expired July 1st of last year, everyone, according to the report, this is what it says, everyone knew certain state businesses would not stop. There are laws that say prisons can't close and state police can't call quits, but a lot of things that nobody knew whether the state could continue to fund. And one of those questions was this: can the state still fund foster care without a budget? Unbelievable. Unbelievable is coming out of Illinois. The court has said this. A federal judge ordered the state to continue paying Medicaid as well as foster care, yet the state is still unsure about how they're going to interpret this. Illinois, what is going on in your state? Wow. Okay, now, here is an interesting report here. This was a national report here. Maybe you saw it earlier in the week. I posted it on my Facebook page either today or yesterday or maybe even Saturday. I don't recall which day it was, but here it is. There is a large percentage of children in foster care who are having their identity stolen. Now, if you read my book, Keeping Foster Children Safe Online, or some of my many articles, you know then that this is not uncommon. Foster children are particularly at risk, according to report, of having their identities stolen. So much so that the White House's Administration for Children and Families have created federal laws aimed at protecting kids from falling victim to identity thieves. Now, under current federal law, state child welfare agencies, in order to become eligible for federal grants, must ensure that youth in foster care who are 16 and older receive a free copy of any credit reports annually. This law also requires that the agencies ensure that these youth get assistance in interpreting and resolving any inaccuracies in the reports. Now, although it appears many states have not formalized process to address the situation, the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families has begun to address the concerns raised by this situation. Going beyond the federal law, Wisconsin currently has agreements with two of the three credit reporting agencies and is working on a third to ensure that children in foster care ages 16 or over will have a credit report, a free credit report, given them. This will help go a long ways in ensuring that children's identity is not stolen. Understanding that good credit is vital, according to support, is a successful transition from foster care to adulthood. I would agree. It is so very important for these children in care to not have their identity stolen, because it just is something that happens time after time after time. It is one of the major concerns of children aging out. Okay, very quickly, we need to go to our good news of the week, shall we? And we go to the state of Arkansas, where a simple drive across town turned into an opportunity for a South Arkansas woman to make a difference for foster children in Union County in Arkansas. Katie Skidmore's day has changed when she spotted Pay It Forward crew. She says what she wants to do here is, she is co-founder of the Agape House, and she wants to help this organization called Pay It Forward. It is an organization that is determined to help children in foster care. What they're doing is they are raising money for their children in foster care in their area so they could, quote-unquote, pay it forward. If you want to find the full report, just go to my Facebook page for this week's Foster Care Hero. But we want to salute the South Arkansas organization, Pay It Forward, that is helping children in foster care. Okay, we have to take a commercial break. But when we come back, we have special guest Elena Taylor, a foster care alumni, and what a powerful story she has. All coming up, the In Focus of the Week, Chris Tremoleski of Foster Focus Magazine. We have the Foster Care Question of the Week, your phone calls, and a whole lot more. You are listening to America's Foster Care Radio Program on Fostering Success USA Radio Network. We'll be back after these messages.
You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John DeGarmo, America's only foster care radio program. Now there is a book available for children coming into foster care. The book is called A Different Home, A New Foster Child Story. Written in simple language and fully illustrated in color, this storybook is designed to help children in care or moving into care to settle in and answer some of their sensitive questions. Accompanied by notes for adults on how to use the story with children, it will be a useful book for foster parents and caseworkers, as well as social workers, teachers, and anyone else working with children in foster care. A Different Home, A New Foster Child Story, available at Amazon and where all books are sold.
Greetings. My name is Daniel Heimpel, and I'm the publisher of The Chronicle of Social Change, an online news site covering child welfare and juvenile justice. Be sure to check out our money and business section, which includes a huge database of youth services funding opportunities from private foundations and all levels of government. Thanks for taking a look at chronicleofsocialchange.org.
Welcome to the award-winning Fostering Families Today magazine. Foster parents are called to give their hearts, share their homes, and make a difference in the life of a child. The journey is difficult and filled with heartbreak and loss, but also joys and inspiration as they see the children in their care make small changes or large accomplishments. Fostering Families Today has been ministering to the hearts of those families for 15 years, celebrating the joys, educating for the future, and sharing in the bumps and bruises of the fostering journey. It's more than a magazine. It's a training tool, a therapeutic intervention, and a friend to lean on. Let Fostering Families Today be part of your journey. Find us on the internet at www.adoptinfo.net or call for additional information toll-free at 888-924-6736.
And now back to Dr. John DeGarmo with Foster Talk.
And we're back with Foster Talk with Dr. John and the Fostering Success USA Radio Network. Coming up this week, we have our NFPA News and Notes with the National Foster Parent Association. And we have In Focus as well as your phone calls. The number to call in, 347-324-5140. But first, on the line from Georgia, we have Elena Taylor, who is a foster care alumni who is just making a huge difference across many different platforms. Elena, welcome to the program this week.
Hello. Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Now, Elena, you are an alumni. You were in foster care from, if I understand correctly, you were in the foster care system since the age of 5 years of age, and you eventually aged out. Is that correct?
I was international orphanage from Romania, and then I was adopted at 4 years old, and then I was put in foster care at a week before my 16th birthday, and then aged out at 21.
So, Elena, when you came over to the U.S., did you have a problem? Did you know English?
No.
No.
I had to start from the beginning.
Start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Right. And as you know, we had a former foster child of ours, a very, very dear member of our family, who came over from Romania as well and had that same issue. But so, Elena, you were adopted and then eventually placed into foster care. Is that how it worked for you?
Yes, sir.
So tell us a little bit about that. What happened? Why were you placed into foster care?
Well, it was because of my gut feeling that something wasn't right, and I was tired of it, and I reported to a friend while my family was around the block walking the dogs, and I had no idea what was going to happen or whatever. And a couple of days later, I get at school the announcement saying that I need to go be reported to the front office. And so a whole week it took that DFACS was asking different questions. Like Monday, it was like, how are you? Different little questions. And then by Wednesday, it was a little more deep. And then by Friday, they said I can no longer go home with everything that I had, just a book bag, no toothbrush, no toothpaste, nothing. Just what I had on my back in my clothes, what I had on.
Wow. So you're in this when you were in high school at age 16, is that it?
Yes, I was in ninth grade.
So, Elena, how did that feel? That must have been a very, very scary time for you, I would imagine.
It was, yes.
So here you are in ninth grade, and you are going to a strange person's house. How long did you stay with that foster family for?
Well, this is what happened. I didn't know what to expect or whatever, and the lady at the DFACS office said, I didn't know if it was because it was a rural area, or was it because everybody knows each other, or because I used to go to different churches around that area. I don't know. But they asked me what group foster homes do I want to be at. And I said, well, I want to go to that place. And they said, okay, get ready to go. And I did. I had no choice but to go to that house that night.
Wow. Wow. So did that affect your time in school? Did you have to change schools at all, or were you able to remain in the same school?
I was able to stay at that that school for 3 weeks.
Okay. And then you stayed out. You stayed in the foster care system until you eventually aged out. What age is that for you, Elena?
Well, at the first foster home where we were just talking about, they that night they said, I kept asking, when am I going to go back home? When am I going to get my toothpaste, little stuff that we take for granted? And they said, maybe next week. Maybe you'll go home even. I'm like, oh, okay, you get that anticipation. Oh, you're going to go back home. And it was not like how it was. You just... They tell you something, and it's not what it was like. And so, and then my sister came to the school with two grocery bags of clothes, and I was so embarrassed, and oh my God. And everybody knows that I left the house, and
And
then I find out later that the GBI was investigating my bedroom and my computer that was in my bedroom and everything else.
Wow.
So that was a little like, oh my.
Now, Elena, since then, you've written for a few magazines. You've written for Foster Focus magazine as well as Fostering Families Today. Tell us a little bit about some of the articles you've written.
I wrote about myself and had a little help from Chris and Kim Hansel, and I'm honored to be able to be in that. And then I got into children's rights in May, and that was a privilege and honor. And I had, 2,000 likes and comments, and oh, my God. And that really helped with the petition that I've been working on, too, for Ohio. And all the comments for me and how I'm an inspiration to so many, and oh, my goodness. So it helped Ohio, and it helped me out, too. So it was like killing three things in one stone. It was
Tell us a little bit about this Ohio Fostering Connections petition that you have started. I see it all over the internet, Lena. Whenever I'm on Facebook and some of the various foster care sites, I'm always seeing this petition. So tell us about this. First of all, what it is, and then what prompted you, what led you to begin this?
Well, I had connection with Ohio since 2007 when I first got Facebook. And I knew Lisa Dixon, and with that connection, and then my life experience with 18 out of 21, and then working on Facebook, just meeting these youth about turn 18 just makes you want to cry and don't know what to do, and you just want to get up and, I don't know, take the plane and just help these people. And it's just so saddening and heartbreaking and everything, and you want to just, and they just need the people that I've come in contact with, just pull them up and get the resources that they need.
Right. You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John and the Fostering Success USA Radio Network. We are speaking with Elena Taylor, an alumni from the state of Georgia. Now, Elena, what do you hope that this petition will do? What is your goal? What do you hope that it's able to what's the outcome?
Well, this is what happened. Okay, this is what happened. I didn't know how it was going to go about, why it was going to go about, what am I going to do about it. But actually, I did more than beyond a call of duty, and I actually contacted all these people with the senators. There's 33 senators, 99 half the reps, one governor, one president that we have, and I got 8 responses back, which was very interesting, and what the responses were from them or not, just an automatic response, but at least you got something, that you got a hold of them somehow or another. And then you get the Ohio Facebook page saying that for my tireless efforts that the Ohio legislators have heard from all the response from me and the people that I've kept, that they started contacting the legislator from Ohio, and they are well aware of this HB 50 bill, which turned into a HB 64 now. But it's more people that are from California and different states already have it, and what's lacking is Ohio doesn't have enough people that are advocating and know about and want to have this bill implemented. So that's where the struggle is right now, why it's not being implemented for Ohio, and the budget cuts and all that.
Sure, sure. So you're, Alana, you're also a member of the Foster Care Alumni of America. And
I've been a member since 2007, and then I got reinstated back in 2011 when I got more involved because I was still in foster care. And then now I've been more involved, and so Misty is no longer the secretary that used to write all the paperwork.
Right.
And now it's Adam Robe, and he did paperwork for me to be another, whatever you call that, another member reinstatement.
So what is your, you're saying more involved. How are you involved now? What are you doing with the Foster Care Alumni of America?
I have been overwhelmed, or not overwhelmed, but the surprising number of how many foster alumni across the country are helping out and giving back and what they're doing. And it used to be that I didn't hear that many people back when I first started with this organization, and now it's everywhere. And then I've talked to Ethan from California, and he's an intern for CYC, California Youth and Connections, and he said there's billions of foster alumni, and I'm like, that is so sad. But why do I only have 7,000 when there's billions? It is mind-boggling.
So what do you hope to do as an alumni member?
I don't know. I'm just taking it one day at a time.
Taking it one day at a time. Alana, are you in school currently? Are you in college?
Well, I just graduated from a diploma program in Albany Technical College, and now I want to go back. I just did the hotel, restaurant, tourism management, and now I'm trying to see if I want to get into the health information technology since I've already done TNA work.
Well, congratulations. That is wonderful. Alana, you know, Alana, only 2% of children in care will ever graduate from college. And here you are. You have a diploma. Mm-hmm. You want to go back to school. You're a strong advocate. You've got this petition going. You're doing so much, Alana, so much. And you surely are an encouragement and inspiration to others. What do you say out there? What do you say, Alana, to the alumni who are listening tonight, or those children in foster care who are still in care tonight, Alana? What do you say to them, for those who have given up hope, for those who have no reason to continue, for those who are just sunk in a state of depression and need some encouragement? What do you say to them?
I would say that there is so much out there that you just have to, don't give up is one thing, but actually get involved with resources that are available to you, either Facebook, and if you don't have cell phone, get connected with what's available in your own town. Because when I first moved to Albany, I used my bike, and I looked like a fool trying to see, oh, there's a Georgia Mentor, oh, there's a CASA, there's a the Day at the Capitol event, and I talked to the House of Representatives lady, and she said, yes, get more involved with your own city, and I've been doing just that. And so I did community events, and if I didn't have a vehicle, I would actually run down there and maybe the CASA. And I actually got CASA Honorary Advocate 2013, and that was very exciting. And then my mom, my mom passed away last year with a fatal brain disorder. And so there's going to be struggles along the way, but you just have to keep going, focus on what you want.
Wow.
There's going to be a lot of sidetracks.
So true. So true.
A lot of barriers, but you have to keep going.
You've not only overcome those barriers, but you have succeeded, and you are, as I said earlier, you are an inspiration to so many. So, Alana, if somebody wants to contact you, if they want to be able to reach out to you and say, hey, Alana, we need your help, or we would love to have you come and speak to us, how could get a hold of you, Alana?
That would be great. You can email me at LaneyPieChickDB, B as in dog, B as in boy, 87 at gmail.com to Facebook, since I'm temporarily blocked. And I don't know how to unblock it. And so I've changed my password, and it just, I don't know what to do. And someone said that I need to just make a whole new Facebook account. And that doesn't make sense since I've had Facebook since 2007. I don't know.
Yeah,
me is the best way. And my phone number keeps changing. So email is the best way for me.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. I really appreciate it. I appreciate what you're doing for the alumni and appreciate what you're doing for the state of Ohio. And I always enjoy reading your articles in various magazines. Again, thank you so much, Elena Taylor, for being part of the program this week.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, that was Elena Taylor, a wonderful alumni, just doing some great things. I encourage you to reach out to her and contact her and find out more about what she's doing and maybe how you can help her make a difference, not only in the state of Ohio, but all across the U.S. Okay, we have to take a commercial break. A commercial break time it is, but when we come back, we will have the NFPA news and notes. We'll have In Focus and our foster care question of the week, including your phone calls, 347-324-5140. You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John. We'll be back after these messages.
And now back to Dr. John DeGarmo with Foster Talk. You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John DeGarmo, America's only foster care radio program.
Did you know there are more than 400,000 children in foster care? Foster adoptive and kinship caregivers stand in the gap for these children, and they need support too. The National Foster Parent Association has been the voice of foster, adoptive, and kinship caregivers for more than 40 years, advocating for thousands of families who open their heart and homes to children in need. Learn more about NFPA at www.nfpaonline.org or call 1-800-557-5238.
Friends, my brand new book, Helping Foster Children in School, A Guide for Foster Parents, Social Workers, and Teachers, is now out. It is now available, paperback version or Kindle version. This book, Helping Foster Children in School, explores the challenges that foster children face in school and offers positive and practical guidance tailored to help the parents, teachers, and social workers supporting them. Now, children in care, as you often know, perform poorly at school both in terms of their behavior and their academic performance, with many children failing to complete their education. In fact, only 45% of children in care will ever receive a high school diploma. They will have experienced trauma or neglect, which can result in a number of developmental delays. By looking at why children in foster care do not perform as well as their counterpart, I have a few easy-to-use strategies to target the problems commonly faced by kids in care. I emphasize the importance of open dialogue between teachers, parents, and caseworkers to ensure that everyone is working jointly to achieve the best outcome for the child. This is an invaluable resource for foster parents, for caseworkers, and for educators alike. This book encourages a unified response to ensure foster children are given the best chance to succeed at school. And if you are a foster parent, you are probably the only person who is out there fighting for your child. So get out there, fight for them in school, ensure that they have the best resources available to them. This book is one tool you cannot afford to be without.
An insightful, interesting new book called Fostering Love, available at Amazon or where you buy books. John DeGarmo learns that to follow God's call in his life means to take up his cross in his own home. This book is a true life account of his experience as a foster parent, along with his wife and their own three children, as he followed God's call to take foster children into his home. This is a story of heartbreak, sadness, and ultimate love as he comes to find God in the tears and smiles of many foster children. Fostering Love by Dr. John DeGarmo. And now back to Dr. John DeGarmo with Foster Talk.
And we're back with Foster Talk with Dr. John on the Fostering Success USA Radio Network. Coming up, we have our In Focus segment of the week, as well as the foster care question of the week. But all the way from the gray state of Texas, we have Irene Clements from the National Foster Parent Association with this week's NFPA news and notes. Irene, have you rested from the huge conference a few weeks ago?
Yes, actually, I have. Thank you for asking. It was an awesome conference, wasn't it?
It was an awesome conference, Irene. And I remember telling you at the conference that Saturday, the conference started when? When did it start? Wednesday?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Anyway. Right.
Yeah,
and
I watched. Week, so.
I, I was watching people Sunday afternoon. I'm sorry, Saturday afternoon. I was watching them pass my resource table, and as well as the seminar I was conducting. And I noticed that they were still energized. They were still enthused. They were still excited, and they were still enjoying it. And that is a huge compliment to the NFPA, because when so many conferences have already gone a day or two, people are worn out. They're tired. They're ready to go home. I didn't see that at this conference.
Yeah, we didn't either. We used a different format this year, and people seemed to really love it. They were really good about turning in their evaluations, not only of each workshop, but of the overall conference. And they seemed to really like the new format. So we're going to go with that format again next year in June when we have our conference in Las Vegas at the Flamingo Hotel.
Irene, what was different about the formatting this year than in the previous years?
Well, we did we call them plenaries, and some people don't know what that is, but it's kind of a learning session, a main topic. So in the mornings we had a main topic, and there could have been two or three different speakers or panels on that one main topic. And then in the afternoon, the breakout sessions were all built off of components of that morning's information. So people could get more information about the parts that they wanted more information about, or maybe didn't understand enough of, or got really excited about, so they could go to workshops in the afternoon that would then enhance that. So that was really good. And then we did something called a fishbowl for the first time, where we had a group of people up in the front in a chair for somebody from the audience as they had a question to come up and join us in discussion. Folks really, really seemed to enjoy that format as well. And that was the first time we'd ever done that format. So we'll probably, like I say, do those same things again this next year with certainly different topics. We're going to combine our conferences next year with the National Kinship Alliance. And And so we're going to be learning about how to better work together to on the benefit of the children, and about the Quality Parenting Initiative pieces of that really do speak to foster parenting as well as kinship caregiving. And it's just, I think, already building up to be a really exciting conference. And we're just barely in the planning stages, of course.
Right. Well, that is very, very exciting. Did you notice that were there a lot of new attendees this year, people who have never attended before?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we did have a lot. And that kind of depends on where we hold it in the country, you know, when people, are close enough for me to go this year, you know, I can drive or it's a short flight. And so we tend to have a lot of new people each year with a lot of returners, of course, as well, because they enjoy what they learn at the conference, but they also enjoy being rejuvenated while they're there and kind of fired up for another year of fostering.
I agree the same. I agree 100%. When I came home from the conference, I felt rejuvenated. I felt energized. I felt excited. And I needed that because I came home to three, four kids, ages 1, 2, and 4. So I needed that. I needed that. My wife had to go on because she needs it right now.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So
go ahead. I wanted to tell you about another conference that I'm really excited about that I'm going to be actually presenting at with Judge Britt Hammond from Georgia. We're going in August to the National Association of Counsel for Children. So that's the attorneys, the lawyers that work with children within the systems across the country. And we've been accepted to do a workshop there based on what is it that lawyers need to know about working better with foster families. You know,
right.
What are those elements that are so key to a better working relationship? You know, showing some respect for each other and how to advocate for the foster parents in the courtroom if the judge is one of those that doesn't invite the foster parent to provide input. So
right.
I'm so excited about this conference. It'll be the first time that this national organization of attorneys has who represent children have had a workshop like this where they've included a foster parent perspective. of working with them through the court system. So we're opening some big doors there. And, I think it's really important for people to know that the National Foster Parent Association is out there actively doing this on their behalf on a regular basis.
That's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon, I happen to have a meeting with the new incoming chair of the National Judges, Juvenile Judges Convention, and that she's the new chair of their organization, and they happen to be holding their national conference in Austin, Texas, this week. So I've been invited to have a meeting with the new incoming chair to talk about how can this national organization of judges who work with these children's cases work more effectively with the foster parents and the kinship caregivers in the courtroom. And so, you know, here's another door opening for us that foster parents wouldn't have if it wasn't for NFPA. And I really think it's important for people to understand this kind of work that's going on their behalf all the time. They may not feel it or hear it directly, but it is going to make an effect, and it is making an effect on how systems work and will work in the future. So I always want to take an opportunity and encourage people to join the National Foster Parent Association. It's simple. It's quick on the website. It's inexpensive. And, you know, we need their support in order to continue to do this work.
And one of the benefits of becoming a member of the NFPA is their fantastic newsletter that comes out every other week, The Informer.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's a lot of benefits. And it said inexpensive, only $35 for the year.
That's right. And that's for a couple. If there's two, it's for both people in the couple. So, yeah, it's a bargain, and get lots of information and services that we can put out there. And like I say, we're always working to figure out how to make a difference that's going to benefit the families to help them do a better job for each child that they take into their home.
Right. Well, Irene, thank you so much for joining us this week. I really appreciate it. I had a wonderful time at the conference. I was honored to be part of it and so grateful that I was allowed to be part of it. So thank you so much, and I look forward to being hopefully a part of it again next year.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to you being there.
Hoping
for a book signing.
Yes, please. Hey, I'll be in Tyler, Texas in September.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah, so if I'm anywhere close
to you,
let me
know when you're there. Maybe I can make a run out there.
I'll do that. Irene, okay. We want to hear about the conference you have with Judge Hammonds too.
You bet. I will absolutely report on that after it's all done.
Wonderful.
They'll probably be in September sometime. I think we're there the third week in August.
And give us that
California.
Website. Give us that website for the NFPA, please.
Okay, it's NFPA. It's if you want to go, it's NFPA online, NFPAONLINE.org.
Great. National Foster Parent Association, a great, great organization.
You bet.
Thanks, Irene. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a great evening, everyone.
That's Irene Clements of the National Foster Parent Association with this week's NFPA News and Notes. When we come back, we've got Chris Chmielewski with In Focus. You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John on the Fostering Success USA Radio Network.
You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John DeGarmo, America's only foster care radio program.
Hi, this is Chris Chmielewski, owner, editor, and creator of Foster Focus magazine, the only monthly foster care magazine in America. You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John DeGarmo. Enjoy and visit fosterfocusmag.com.
An insightful, interesting new book called Fostering Love, available at Amazon or where you buy books. John DeGarmo learns that to follow God's call in his life means to take up his cross in his own home. This book is a true life account of his experience as a foster parent, along with his wife and their own three children, as he followed God's call to take foster children into his home. This is a story of heartbreak, sadness, and ultimate love as he comes to find God in the tears and smiles of many foster children. Fostering Love by Dr. John DeGarmo. And now back to Dr. John DeGarmo with Foster Talk.
And we're back with Foster Talk with Dr. John on the Fostering Success USA Radio Network. Coming up, we'll have our foster care question of the week as we look at many of your responses from today's question on my Facebook page. But first, we go to Parts Unknown in America with our In Focus segment this week with Chris Chmielewski and Foster Focus magazine. Chris, where in the world is Waldo?
What am I, the ultimate warrior? The parts unknown? I'm in Topeka, Kansas, sir.
Right. Now, so you have been driving for, 24 hours now, maybe?
I think it's around 18, but it doesn't feel like it because, you know, you can see the entire state here in Kansas from standing still. So I've already looked ahead at Colorado. I've looked up towards Nebraska. I've seen everything. Your dog runs away down here. It takes 4 days till he's out of your eye line.
Oh my! Now, Chris, tell us why you are on the road right now. You're on a long jaunt. I think I read 3 weeks away from home. Why is that? What's going on?
Well, overall, it's because someone needs to put in the miles and the time for the kids. But because I don't think they did that too much when I was in care, and I think now that advocates get in their cars or get on their planes and get to the places they need to go. I think that's made a real difference. So I want to be part of that difference. But there's an FFTA conference in Denver on the weekend. And so on the way to that conference, I'm going to speak with the, I want to call it the Kansas Youth Association, maybe Kansas Leadership Youth Association. Bunch of foster kids is what I'm telling you, Doc. I'm going to meet with them. I'm going to put on a little class about what to expect when you age out of care,
right.
And then I'm going to bedazzle them all with my quick wit and humor. I'm going to sweat like a fool and look awkwardly out of the crowd. That's what I'm saying to you.
No, I don't believe that. Not at all.
You guys overestimate. You see what happened? You just had Irene Clemens on, and you were talking about the conference. She dragged me up on the stage, and I thought I was going to cry a little. Some people, like yourself, are made for the spotlight, and some people, like myself, are made to tell the stories and do the legwork that nobody else wants to do, and I'm completely okay with that. But if you ask me to talk, I'll come.
What is going on after Kansas? What is the ultimate destination?
All right, so then we've got the FFTA, the Foster Family Therapeutics Association. The Therapeutic Treatment Association. I got the first
right.
part wrong, but
right.
people know what FFTA is.
Yes.
Big old conference. There's an alumni giving the keynote. His name is Michael Place, good kid out of L.A. Hank Maratowski from – he's
yes.
going to kill me. He's with a last name like mine, you think I could pronounce everyone's last name in the world, but I just can't.
Right.
But Hank is from PATH, and he'll be there. And Irene Clemens will be there, and the accreditation guru will be there. So lots and lots of people to meet.
Oh, I wish I could be joining you.
What's that?
I wish I could be joining you there next week, but as you know, I've got another event going on, but I'd love to be there.
All right, you've got, what is it, 400 Australians in your house or something like that?
Germany, Ukraine, Sweden, Switzerland.
He's starting his own United Nations over at his house in Georgia.
Truth be told,
UN over there.
Truth be told, my wife's ex-boyfriend from Germany is coming. So, you know, a Yankee, a German, and an Australian.
Nine.
Yeah.
Nine.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
You are a better man than I am. Because that's something that would happen to the Chmielewski household.
Stay
in Germany.
International, that's for sure. So, will you be covering these reports for Foster Focus magazine? Will we be able to read about it?
Well, I mean, some of the things that I'll be doing, I'll be covering. I'm waiting on confirmation from the Arizona Cardinals to attend their training camp and talk with Coach Arians and the Honey Badger, who both have foster care connections.
Right.
And then I'm headed after Denver. I'm headed to Austin to help work on a book on behalf of Simpatico, and Irene's actually involved in that as well. So I'll be seeing her twice this week, which is really nice for me because I'm a big fan of Irene.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
But tomorrow I'll be meeting with the DCS Secretary, Phyllis Goodwin, here in Kansas. And so that might be something that I'll share in the magazine. I'll talk about the trick of the editor's notes, but you know, I don't really enjoy talking about what I do. I prefer to talk about what other people do because they're better looking than me.
speaking of better looking than you and the editor's notes, I read a very, very powerful editor's notes about your wife. What a lovely report you wrote about her. Very, very touching.
Yeah, that's my get out of jail free card for like the next 6 months. That was in the behavioral health corner section with Tracy Rawls. I had to steal her section because the editor's notes were full of me trying to compare myself to Forrest Gump. I think I might have pulled it off, but I've got a good life. I mean, who else is going to let me run around the country like this? I don't like to fly, and I'm pretty claustrophobic among my many, many disorders. And so she goes out of her way to make sure that I can drive and that the hotel has a door that goes right to the outside. So I mean, yeah, you need a good support system. I mean, you need at least one person who believes in you more than anything in the world, and then that's her. And it doesn't hurt that the magazine's doing well.
Right.
I don't know how lovely she'd be if I was putting us into debt every month, but so far so good. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Now, we've only got a moment or two left, Chris, but can you tell us a little bit about the July issue that just came out?
I can. It's fantastic. Isn't that the best answer?
It
actually is a really good issue, a really good piece, a profile, if you will, of a young lady who was in care, who kind of started off looking like life was going to be fantastic, and things got a little weird, and then she had to find her way back to the table. So, I mean, it's just a really fascinating look at what it could be, what could happen to you if things don't go according to plan, I guess is the best way to put that. And then, of course, I'm a very lazy editor, so I took my HuffPost piece about that night on Broadway and I threw it in the magazine there. And then there's an unknown writer. He's an interesting guy. He wrote a piece about human trafficking from the foster parent perspective. Last name is DeGrassi. I'll get back to you on that, but I want to talk about J.D. John, who's an alumni who's fighting like heck to get himself to Australia, your favorite place, to attend the International Foster Care Organization's yearly meeting. So that's interesting. And then I had a great – and he's from the Choctaw Nation. I hope I'm saying that right.
And he will be on the show
the
next
Chickasaw. Will he
be
on soon?
Yes, next week, yes.
Oh, he's a good kid. He's a really good kid. Impressive young man. He just had a heart attack. He's only like 20-something.
Oh,
so you'll have to talk to him about that. I think he might be stressing himself out trying to get to Australia. But Leslie Brownlee is a new writer, and she wrote just a fantastic piece called Where Is Your Family? She got asked a bunch of times that question, and it just struck a chord with her. So, it was a good issue. I'm starting the process of the What Foster Care Feels Like Foster Parent edition, which you will be writing the foreword for because I've already locked you into that. that's a callback to an earlier photo project that I did called What Foster Care Feels Like, and it was all alumni with a metaphor about what care feels like. And this time I asked the foster parents to give me their 2 cents, and they had some really, really great responses, and the pictures will make you tear up a little because, you know, who doesn't like cute kids? So it's going to be an interesting issue. I hope I can get it all done.
Well, I have no doubt that you will, Chris. Well, safe travels on the road, and looking forward to reading about it, whether online or in the magazine. Now, Chris, before you go, give us the contact information so we can subscribe to the magazine.
Absolutely. The web address is fosterfocusmag.com. And I'll tell you what, if things go the way I hope they go when I go to the Cardinal camp, that means my schedule is pushed back a couple of days, which means I can take the long way home to Georgia, through Georgia. So
very good.
Be on alert. Get some mac and cheese ready, because it's all I eat.
Okay. You and my son. All right, no worries.
Whatever your son would eat is probably what I would eat.
Okay. Chris, thank you so much for being part of the show this week, and safe travels, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Doc. We'll see you soon.
Chris Chmielewski with In Focus and Foster Focus Magazine. Okay, we've got a few moments left. Let us check out this week's Foster Care Question of the Week. We do it every single Monday on my Facebook page, Dr. John DeGarmo, Foster Care Expert. And here is this week's question. Why are you a foster parent? Just wanted to ask some very, very simple question there, because I get asked the question myself. So I thought I'd bring it out to you. And these are some of your responses. Jennifer says, to make a difference and try to keep siblings together forever along the way through adoption from foster care. Shannon says, so that the kids had some place to stay and to show them that life does not have to be the way it was at home and that parents really do love their kids, as many of the children in foster care do not even know what love is. Scott says, wanted my grandbaby home with family. Tish says, some days these questions I ask myself. I started it because I couldn't have children, and there are so many children who needed a home. But I'm seriously considering closing my home after my oldest son is adopted, if the youngest son is moved and the girls return home or are moved. It's just been too overwhelming lately. Too much I'm unhappy with, and too many workers in my home now. Tish, I understand what you're saying. I've been there myself. This week's foster care question of the week, why are you a foster parent? Sarah says, it's always something I wanted to do growing up. I love to love on people. I agree sometimes it gets overwhelming. So many workers that never seem to have it together. But then I remember the kids. Absolutely right, Sarah. It's all about the kids. We have to keep that in the forefront of our minds. Norma says, our house was empty one Christmas. Just didn't seem right. Hopefully, no more quiet Christmases. Angela says, to give kids a safe place to stay and be loved while their parents get back on track. Erica says, because it's one thing I could do that can make a huge difference in the lives of children. We're looking at this week's foster care question of the week. Why are you a foster parent? Mikola says, I think I started fostering for one reason, and now that I've been doing it for a year, it's evolved into a much more complex one. I expect my feelings about it to continue growing along with my experiences and gained knowledge and understanding. Elizabeth said, started my God's daughter were taken from their homes for a cause, and I was making myself available if needed in case the state was a better choice in their current location. Kristen says, we believe this is a calling God has chosen for us. He has paved the way for us and opened our hearts for these children and these family. Gerald says, because I had great foster parents in the 70s for 2 years of my life. Jared, thank you for giving back. We're looking at this week's foster care question of the week. Why did you become a foster parent? We will look at just a few more questions, a few more answers. Christina says, to help break the cycle of dysfunction, we try to show our children another way to live, harmony, love, and peace, the big ones being safety and security. Melissa says, to love on hurting children and help them see how special they are to God. Finally, a last one, Tracy says, days like today when I had the privilege of taking a child to live with his daddy who adores him. Okay, those are just some of our responses. This week's Foster Care Question of the Week. You can look at all the responses, and you can add your response as well. Just go to my Facebook page, Dr. John DeGarmo. Hey, I want to thank our special guest this week, Elena Taylor, a fantastic alumni member, Chris Chmielewski with Foster Focus Magazine and his segment, In Focus, and Irene Clements with the National Foster Parent Association and this week's NFPA News and Notes. I also want to thank Norman, Oklahoma, for giving me the opportunity to come out and speak to them in the month of August. Looking forward to that. And finally, thank you to all of you who have made my brand new book, Helping Foster Children in School, a guide to foster parents, caseworkers, and teachers, making that book a big, big success. Tomorrow's Tuesday. That means a brand new segment of my weekly video series, Foster Care 101. You can check it out on my Facebook page, my Twitter account, and my website. My also this week coming up is my brand new blog for the month of August, because we're heading into that month, aren't we? And this month we're going to focus on some of the challenge, why particularly children in foster care have a very sad time in school. Okay, that's it for this week's edition of Foster Talk with Dr. John for the Fostering Success USA Radio Network. Thanks for joining, my friends. I will talk to you and see you next week.
You're listening to Foster Talk with Dr. John DeGarmo, America's only foster care radio program.